Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio SmackDown Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in snowy upstate New York. And for the next 90 minutes, we will be bringing you news, results, and opinions on this week's bizarre, Twilight Zone-ish SmackDown. At 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to talk about this, of course, you can always hit us up in the chat room, and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. You know, I almost played the Twilight Zone music because that's sort of what I felt like this week's SmackDown was. I felt like I was watching an episode in another dimension. And we're going to get to all of that, believe me, because it was quite an eventful episode of SmackDown, but it was also one that just left me scratching my head. But before we get started with any of that, obviously between Raw and SmackDown came the news that Becky Lynch was out of the Survivor Series, having suffered a broken nose. They called it a broken face, but it was actually a broken nose. I don't know if you can break somebody's entire face. I think Brutus the Barber Beefcake had his entire face broke. But Becky Lynch suffered a broken nose and a concussion. And this happened, of course, at the end of Raw when there was the melee in the ring, and it happened at the hands of Nia Jax. Now, when I first found out about this, I jokingly said, well, you know, maybe Nia Jax has done her a favor. She's not going to have to drop to Ronda Rousey on Ronda's way to Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania. And in a weird way, Nia Jax may very well have done Becky Lynch a favor in two ways. One, she has totally made Becky Lynch, she has solidified her as the top female wrestler in this business, bar none. And secondly, rumor has it that she has now cemented Becky Lynch as the main event, not just an event, the main event of WrestleMania, where Becky Lynch will take on, supposedly, Ronda Rousey. So in a weird way, perhaps Nia Jax has done her a favor. I know that sounds a little bit weird and it sounds a little bit harsh, but if you want to put a smile on this, that's the best way to do it. I, however, do not want to put a smile on this. So before we get started with the SmackDown report,
Marcus Kane's Don't Get Me Started.
Okay, so Nia Jax is at it again, and Twitter is at it again. And I really feel like I'm going to lose my mind over this nonsense. If it's not bad enough that Nia Jax first injures Bayley by dropping her just dead on her shoulder and putting her out of a pay-per-view, she then injures Alexa Bliss, and Bliss is out for a while. Then Zelina Vega gets a concussion at the hands of Nia Jax. And now this. I don't know how many matches Nia Jax has had on the main roster, but I'm going to go on record as saying it's not a million. And when you can count five or six injuries in those number of matches, something's wrong. Something's way wrong. Now, I know it wasn't that long ago that Brie Bella kicked a girl in the face, twice, not once, twice. And I was all over Brie Bella. all over her, saying, how do you kick Liv Morgan in the face once is bad enough, but then you have to know that your foot hit her face and made really good contact. You just went and did it again. As much as Brie Bella is responsible for that, and she is, despite what Twitter says, despite what Daniel Bryan says, despite what anybody else says, she doesn't really have a track record of injuring people. It's not like, oh, well, that Brie Bella, you know, she's been around for 10 years and there's a long path of people she's putting in traction. No, not really. Same way with Seth Rollins. So you get to the point where you say, well, okay, there's one or two blunders in a long career. You know, you grit your teeth and you say, well, it's still your fault. I don't care what wrestlers say. See, let me give you a quick synopsis of something. If you're a professional wrestler and you're working with an opponent and you make a decision, look, we're going to go up to the top buckle and I'm going to attempt to superplex you. You're going to block it. We're both going to fall off the buckle and we're both going to go through a table. You know that's a high-risk move. You know that even if everything goes perfectly fine, there's still a chance you're going to get hurt. And if you okay it, and the powers that be okay it, and everybody's okay with it, then that's called you're taking a calculated risk. And you know when you sign on to do that, you're taking a calculated risk. You fall from the top of the cage at a cage match, you're taking a calculated risk. You do the old Kevin Owens thing and fall off the ladder through a table, you're taking a calculated risk. But simply getting into the ring and having a girl kick you or punch you should not be a calculated risk. That should be a given that that's safe, because that's the most fundamental and basic thing you can do in a wrestling match. And if you can't make that safe, what can you make safe? So I'm tired of hearing talking heads telling me, oh, it happens in wrestling, and who have you guys don't have the right to say what go, how do you know? I shut up! You know how I have the right to know? Because I'm an intelligent human being. That's how I have the right. What do you think? You're a college professor? Do you think you're a nuclear physicist, professional wrestler? And I'm getting tired of Ryback and his stupid self on Twitter saying, you don't have the right to judge anybody. You don't know what to... Shut up! There's a girl with a concussion. There's two girls with a concussion. There's a girl whose shoulder was dislocated and another girl that was hurt by the same person. So don't get on Twitter and tell me I don't have the right. What are you, an idiot? Tired of these people going to bat for them. I understand protect your own. Becky Lynch is going to say, oh, it's one of those things. Because what's she supposed to say? She's a stumbling idiot. But Ryback out there in La La Land somewhere saying, well, that's the breaks of the game. No, it's not the breaks of the game, moron. Did you watch the tape? Because I did. You tell me how a girl can turn around, clearly see her target, and throw a punch so hard that it not only breaks her nose, but it gives her a concussion. She doesn't pull her punch. She doesn't pull off the punch. She doesn't open up her fingers to lessen the damage of the punch. She doesn't time it right. She doesn't judge it right. And she swings for the fences. Because if she didn't swing for the fences, she's not going to give her a concussion. If she opened up her fingers, the worst she's going to do is slap her in the face with her fingers. Did you see Nia Jax's knuckle? It looked like she punched a brick wall. Becky Lynch's face that hard. Give me the reason. Ryback, Einstein, give me the reason that someone throwing a punch directly in a girl's face when you have a clear target. Give me the reason why that's okay. Give me the reason why that's just one of those things and not poor training. Do you understand that there are professional wrestlers walking the face of this earth that has never given anybody a concussion by punching them dead in the face. At least not accidentally. Where's all the people that Ric Flair concussed? Where's all the people that Harley Race concussed? Where's all the people that Bob Backlund concussed? Shawn Michaels concussed? Jerry Lawler concussed? Where are all these people? If it's just one of those things, how come it's only just one of those things now? Girl who's unsafe in the ring, end of conversation, and I've said it from the day she walked in the door. So if you want to get all over somebody, fine. Get all over the fans. You don't know anything. That's part of the business. We're built like that, you know. We just get in there and throw caution to the wind. We don't give a damn. Well, then you're not a professional. If you throw caution to the wind and you don't give a damn, then you're not a professional. Because any idiot could go in there and punch somebody dead in the face. It doesn't take training for someone to go in there and punch someone dead in the face. Anyone could do it. Get a wino off the street, get them in the ring, and they can turn around and punch you dead in the face. If that's your sport, great. Then that's your sport. Congratulations. The equivalent of a magician sawing a woman in half and saying, yeah, I really did. I sawed her right in half. She's dead. That's one of those things. No, it's not one of those things. This could have ended Becky Lynch's career. For what? For a knucklehead who don't know how to throw a punch? Look at her hand on her Twitter feed. Her knuckle is raw. I punched walls and not had my knuckle look like that. Do you know what force she had to hit her with? And then you're going to sit there and tell me that she turns around, sees Becky Lynch's face, and just says, I guess I'll just throw a punch as hard as I possibly can directly at her face. No, it didn't hit the left side of her cheek. It didn't hit her temple, just barely missed. It hit her nose. Dead center, dead middle of the face. What was she aiming for, Ryback? Super genius. What was she aiming for? Answer me those questions. Instead of just getting on Twitter and saying, you people don't have the right to judge unless you've wrestled 800,000 million matches and walked uphill with a bear strapped to your back and crawled through the snowbanks naked. Give me a break already. I have the right to judge when a moron turns around and just decks some girl for real because she don't have the skill to pull her punch. I have the right to judge that. And if you don't think I have the right to judge that, my friend, you are mistaken. She's not safe. Period. And I got a news flash for everybody listening to the sound of my voice. If she had a dead punched Ronda Rousey in the face and concussed Ronda Rousey, Nia Jax would be fired or suspended or back down to NXT for training or wherever the hell she's going. If this was Becky Lynch 3 months ago, Nia Jax wouldn't even been called out on it. It would have been like, oh, well, whatever, that was Becky Lynch. But now the WWE realizes you really took something away from us. Becky Lynch is hot right now, and she can't afford to be sitting on the sidelines for a month. She can't. And you caused that. Now, you could say whatever you want. I'm not suggesting Nia Jax turned around and said, I hate Becky Lynch, and I'm going to punch her lights out. I never said that. What I said was, when you throw a punch with that sort of force, and that's got to be a lot of force, somebody. I've been in my fair share of fights. And I've been punched many a time. I've had my nose broken. I've not had a concussion. Not from that. And that's somebody really trying to hurt me, really trying to knock me out. Still didn't give me a concussion. So I want you to explain to me why she's throwing a punch that ferociously at the dead center of her face and not protecting her, not opening up her fingers to judge the distance so the worst she could do is slap her with her fingertips or her first knuckle, not curling her fist halfway. How come her knuckle, her actual physical knuckles, met Becky Lynch's nose? How come? Is that the way a professional wrestling punch is supposed to be thrown to someone's face? The answer is no, it's not. Nobody's going to tell you that. But that's not the way you throw the punch. So she effed up. She's careless. She's sloppy. She has poor body control. And she gets carried away. Those are four things you cannot do if you want to be a professional wrestler. I don't care who she's related to. I'm telling you, she's not safe. I've said a million times. Seems like a nice person outside the ring. It doesn't matter. She's not safe. And what makes her worse than not safe is that she's careless. Watch her throw Bayley down on her shoulder. Any idiot would know you can't throw her down on her shoulder like that. See, usually when you get hurt in a pro wrestling ring, it's because you don't know how to take the move or you fuck up. I turned my neck and, Finn Balor, I looked behind me when he gave me that buckle bomb and that's a mistake because your shoulder's in the wrong position. I tilted my head. I landed wrong on my knee. I tucked my elbow. There's a reason you got hurt. You didn't take the move right. But when someone has full control of your body and full control of the move and you get hurt, then it's their fault because you don't factor into that decision. Bayley doesn't factor into how she's going to land when Nia Jax flat out drops her on her shoulder without giving a care to how she drops her. Becky Lynch has nothing to do with, I know a punch is coming. Oops, she just brained me dead center in my snot locker. As hard as she possibly could punch me. Now the WWE is trying to put a smile on this by saying, oh, well, you know, Nia Jax is a heel. So she goes on Twitter and says, hey, we don't deliver mail here. People get hurt. That's the way things happen. I don't blame Nia Jax for saying that. What's she supposed to say? I'm an idiot. I'm a goofball. I have no talent. But then a really weird thing happens. Ronda Rousey decides she's going to get on Twitter. And she basically says, well, see, this is what happens when someone really gets punched in the face. As opposed to pretending to be punched in the face. Ah, nice job, Rhonda. Nice job, moron. What do you think your hero Roddy Piper would have said about that? I watched Roddy Piper struggle in an interview to break kayfabe even a little bit. When someone asked him a question, well, did you know this was going to happen or that? He was literally going, I really feel I don't really want to answer it, and I guess it doesn't matter at this point, but because that's how much that meant to him. No, you're just on Twitter saying, hey, yeah, look what happens. Welcome to my world where people really try to punch me in the face. I just don't know. And he's not by the way, Nia Jax is not the only one. I don't know if either one of the Singh brothers is hurt, but if you saw how Brock Lesnar was thrown around the Singh brothers, hey, Brock, they're not 300 pounds. You could be a little less, emphatic when you throw them, okay? One of them landed directly on his neck. Brock Lesnar don't give a damn either. And I'm beginning to think Nia Jax don't give a damn, because if she did give a damn, the first person you injure, see, this is the thing. There are many wrestlers who go through their whole career and they never injure anybody seriously. Yeah, the little minor things happen, but not seriously. When you injure someone where they're missing time, or missing big paychecks, even though they'll probably pay her anyway. But they're potentially missing big paychecks, missing time, getting their angle hurt by missing this time. And you realize what that means. You go out of your way to never do it again. You know, if you're a rookie and it happens, you're like, damn, this can never happen again. I got to be ultra careful next time. Nia Jax is not ultra careful. She's still in there doing whatever she wants to do. Somebody, you know, in the old school, I'll tell you what would have happened. They'd have sent somebody in there to hurt Nia Jax, to let her know how it feels. Go back and Google Roddy Piper and Jimmy Snuka. And you'll see what I mean about the old school. They'd send somebody to police their own and say, okay, if this is the way she wants to play the game, we can play this game too. When she gives us her body, we can make sure we're not so careful. This is absurd. And for the WWE to use it to get heat for Nia Jax is a little bit distasteful, and I'll tell you why. So you're going to get heat for Nia Jax by saying, yeah, you injured the most popular star we have on our roster and took that match away from the fans. So we'll exploit it so people will care you exist. If that's how low you have to go to get that girl some heat, she has no business in this business. Zero. I've said from day one, she just doesn't have it. She just doesn't. Because you're born into it, because your bloodline says, that doesn't mean you get the right to injure people. That doesn't mean you get the right to be sloppy. That doesn't mean you get the right to be careless. That doesn't mean you get to be someone who injures people without any consequence of action. And it doesn't mean you're any damn good. And this is absurd. Absolutely absurd. Let me get to the phones. Mike, this is just another in a long string of this.
I mean, let me talk to you about a couple of guys here. And one, we know it's a big show with that WMD punch. Other than Todd Pettengill, who they actually allowed him to punch and gave him a concussion, from what I understand. And then they ended up firing Pettengill anyway, but, you know, that's what happened there. And then Taz, how many people has he done that Taz mission flex to, and it not hurt, you know?
How many guys has Shawn Michaels super kicked directly in the face? How many concussions did that super kick give people? How many yes kicks has Daniel Bryan done? How many concussions has he given people? How many knees to the face has Shinsuke Nakamura done and left somebody concussed? This, we're talking about a punch. The most basic things in pro wrestling as far as your offense, punches and kicks. If you can't do a punch or a kick successfully, then I don't know how anybody can trust you to do anything else. It's the most fundamental thing you can possibly learn. And I know there's going to be apologists saying, well, I mean, she's trying to make it look real. She turns around in the heat of battle and throws a punch and, you know, she timed it wrong. Apologize all you want. If you're in that position and you're a professional wrestler and your job is to turn around and throw a punch, you turn around, you find your target, because you're going to have to do it in a hurry to make it look real, you make sure that hand comes open. So the worst you can possibly do if you make contact with somebody's face is slap them with your fingers. That's all. Maybe it stings your fingers. Maybe it, gives them a bloody nose. At worst, it doesn't concuss them. The broken nose I could even live with. The concussion. Watch the punch. All you have to do, I mean, you get Ryback on Twitter like we're all morons. Watch the goddamn video. She hauls off, sees her target, throws a punch like a sailor on leave in a bar room in Singapore, and just lays her out. She couldn't have hit her harder if she was in a boxing match and was trying to. And that's not the way it works. And when people say, oh, well, I get a potato now and then, yeah, of course you do. When a guy's throwing 1,500 punches at your face in 5 seconds, when AJ Styles, people say AJ Styles knocked out the Miz's tooth, yes, you're absolutely right, with a spinning back fist. But the spinning back fist requires two things to happen. You know it's coming, and you got to move when he hits you. You got to have your head moving. So it's a glancing blow. So it's a little bit different than Becky Lynch. Say, her spot is, I come up behind Nia Jax. She turns around and levels me. That's going to be the spot. So I give her a clear target because that's my job. Here's my face. Here's my long hair. All I have to do is hit her hair, by the way. You know how many wrestlers used to do that and just hit my hair? I have really long hair, so if my hair was down over my eyes, I was slightly bent over, just hit my hair. Nope. I'm going to throw a punch as hard as I can from the elbow. I'm not even – any idiot would know that she's way too close to have that sort of extension. Bam! And by the way, directly dead center in the middle of her face. She didn't try to deflect it by hitting her in the side of the jaw or the upper part of the head by the ear or wherever. No, dead center in the middle of the face is where she aimed, and dead center in the middle of the face is where she hit. There's no excuse for it, Mike. There's none whatsoever. I don't care what Ryback says.
There is none whatsoever. And like I've said before, how many people... You know, that's the most simple thing. And there have been a number of people throughout the years that have used one of the most simple things as their finishing maneuver, you know. And how many of those people that have been hit with that finishing maneuver have gotten concussion from it?
This is what I'm saying. Let's go back in our history a little bit. We got Ric Flair. We got Dusty Rhodes. We got Harley Race. We've got, you know, Hulk Hogan, if you want to add him. You've got Nick Bockwinkel. You've got Jerry Lawler. You want to go more modern, you got Triple H and Shawn Michaels and all of those people. Okay? How many of those people did you know on a regular basis was, oh, I concussed another guy. Whoops, I broke another guy's shoulder. Oop, there's another concussion I did. I don't remember any of that. I don't remember any of that at all. Stone Cold Steve Austin used to stomp a mud hole in your ass and walk it dry. He threw fierce punches. I don't remember anybody ever saying, yeah, I got a concussion. Yeah, I'm out for a month because Steve Austin gave me a concussion because he decked me right in the middle of the goddamn ring dead in my face. I don't remember any of that, Mike.
No, I don't remember either. I mean, I look at Mark Merrow. I look at Hands of Stone, Ronnie Garvin, and even the Big Show. You know, I mean, how many people has the Big Show hit that WMD punch on, and none of them, you know, got concussed?
You know, initially people were telling me Nia Jax was throwing punches in the corner, and Becky Lynch walked into her elbow. And I said, well, if that's the case, if Nia Jax reared back to throw a punch and Becky Lynch walked right into her freaking elbow, then that's Becky Lynch's fault. But I watched the tape. Nia Jax turns around, sees Becky Lynch, cocks her arm, and throws a mega punch that just absolutely decks her. Todd, there's no way in the world, if you have any talent at all, for pro wrestling, that you hit somebody that hard dead center in the middle of face.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Well, like you said, all the old school guys like Hogan, Flair, you never seen them give their opponents a concussion or anything. Or the modern legends like Stone Cold Steve Austin or Triple H either. And you never really seen that.
Let me ask you a question, Todd. How many times, since we know each other in real life, how many times have you seen me get hit in the head with a foreign object, a chair, a table, a microwave oven? How many times have you seen somebody just lambaste me in the head?
Plenty of times, but you never got a concussion for it.
No concussions. Zero concussions. Zero concussions. How many concussions did I give people, including yourself, who I've thrown punches at?
None. None, actually.
None. Zero concussions. Okay? Nia Jax has had 100 wrestling matches in the WWE, maybe. 2 or 3 concussions, a hurt shoulder, some other injuries. Jesus Christ. What more do you want? What more do you want? I don't understand. I don't understand the people defending her. These are the same people who said Chris Jericho was right to confront Brock Lesnar when he busted open Randy Orton. Why? Maybe it was a mistake. Isn't that just something that happens? Then why was Chris Jericho mad, Ryback? You cannot do this and have a successful wrestling federation. And now we know why, don't we? Because it leads to things like we saw Tuesday night. And we're going to get into this. Very first thing we have is AJ Styles getting in the ring, talking about his fight with Brock Lesnar. And who should come out but Paul Heyman? I have no problem with Paul Heyman coming out. But the minute Paul Heyman says, well, of course, we would have rather fought the top guy, and that really, of course, as everybody knows, is Daniel Bryan, I said, okay, well, something's wrong. There's no reason on God's green earth for Paul Heyman to come to SmackDown and say they'd rather fight Daniel Bryan, unless they're going to fight Daniel Bryan. There's no reason, zero. So I already knew, somehow, Daniel Bryan's taking AJ Styles' place. Now, we'll get into this before we get into the rest of the show, because you pretty much have to. First off, for the people who are thinking, well, because Becky Lynch got hurt, they pulled this with Daniel Bryan, that's not true. They actually had this planned last week, from what I hear, before Becky Lynch got hurt. But the gimmick was supposed to be, Vince McMahon didn't want AJ Styles to lose twice in a row to Brock Lesnar, and that's what was planned. So Vince said, well, maybe we'll do the Daniel Bryan thing because we don't know how long we're going to have Brock, and that's a dream match. And maybe since we've taken one, you know, AJ Styles' loss, maybe it's better. He doesn't take another one. Daniel Bryan was the one who came up with the idea of, I don't like being a face because it's not getting me anywhere. I'm very limited to what I can do, and it doesn't seem like I'm going to break out of this, restraint of how far I can go as a face, so let me be a heel. I don't disagree with the decision. Let him be a heel if he wants to be a heel. You want him to win the belt? Let him win the belt. Everybody wanted Daniel Bryan to win the belt at some point anyway. But you've cheated the fans out of a really good story, because the really good story, of course, is Daniel Bryan has to realize, I'm not the man I used to be, and overcome it and get better and better despite the setbacks and finally have his moment. That's your story. That's your feel-good moment. Instead, you said, well, let's just give it up on a SmackDown. And by the way, he'll turn heel. He's always wanted to do that anyway. Let him just go ahead. Turn heel. There's no big deal. But here's the big deal. Brock Lesnar is a heel. Brock Lesnar's the guy that we're supposed to hate, because Brock Lesnar shows up when he wants to, does what he wants to, has Paul Heyman say he's different than everybody else and nobody in the world can ever beat him and he's a monster. Blah, 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 blah. He's the beast and blah, 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 blah. And we don't care. And we're out here in a limo and we don't even show up for work and we get paid more than any of you jabrones. And that's what he's been doing for I don't know how long. Please hate Brock Lesnar. We give him special treatment. Please hate Brock Lesnar. He's sitting on a couch backstage and doesn't even care about coming out. Please hate Brock Lesnar. He's attacked this person from behind. Okay, so now we're supposed to hate Daniel Bryan too. for what he did to AJ Styles. So how does that make this match fun? I agree that Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar, with Daniel Bryan being the face, would have been a fun match. The ultimate underdog against, it's Davey and Goliath. The problem is, Davey was the guy you were rooting for. If Davey burned his house down with his mother in it, and Goliath stepped on everybody else's house, you'd be like, both, I don't give a freak what happens to either one of these guys. Now, if Daniel Bryan was chomping at the bit to turn heel, I don't know why in a million years you didn't just say, leave it alone. When Daniel Bryan comes out and says, the next time you say my name without reason, I'm going to punch you dead in the face. I don't know why this wasn't left until Survivor Series, where Daniel Bryan could have turned and cost AJ Styles the match against Brock Lesnar. Then they could have had their match on SmackDown the Tuesday afterwards, in which Daniel Bryan wins, and you're at the same point as you are now, except AJ lost because of Daniel Bryan, and Daniel Bryan is now a heel with a belt. Now you've got to a point where Daniel Bryan's a heel with a belt, taking on another heel with a belt, and both people, you know, they're going to cheer for Daniel Bryan. So you failed. Failed to make Daniel Bryan a heel. Daniel Bryan says, I want to be a heel. And the first thing I want to do is take on another big heel. Well, that's moronic. If you really were smart, Daniel, you would have said, well, I know I can't take on Brock Lesnar because the fans are just going to cheer me, and that's not going to help me get over as a heel. So how about if I have this match with AJ and there's no conclusion? And we have to be separated. And I'm pissed at AJ Styles. And then Sunday I cost him the match. And then Tuesday we have a rematch for the belt and I win. Then at least I can further my heel persona. I know that wouldn't get you to Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar. And that's what they wanted. Well, then why can't he simply win as a face? If you want that, then Daniel Bryan comes out and says, look, no excuses, you beat me. I'm asking for one more match. And if I don't win, I'll never ask you for another match as long as I live. You have a great match. Daniel Bryan wins. All that means is you're 1-1. Daniel Bryan goes on to fight Brock Lesnar as the conquering hero. Gets his ass kicked. Mad about it. Comes back with a different attitude. And when AJ says, I want my rematch, he says, okay, I'll give you your rematch. And then cheats to win and turns heel because he couldn't take the fact that he lost badly to Brock Lesnar. There are ways you could have done this that made sense. The way they have done it, Mike, doesn't make any sense at all.
It really doesn't, and that's the thing. You know, I mean, again, like you say, you just given us, what, two or three ways that they could have done it, and it makes sense? I mean, how many times have we done this on this show that we've given them two or three ways for any given situation to make logical sense, and they went with the illogical.
Yeah, I mean, look, booking on the fly can be difficult, but we just did it in 30 seconds. I mean, it's not that difficult. You've been in the business for how long? Does someone not realize that Daniel Bryan is going to get cheered Sunday, and that's going to minimize his heel potential? I don't understand this. Very unusual, Mike. I don't know. I don't know where they're coming from with this.
I don't know either. And that's the thing. I mean, what can you say?
You can't say anything, except it smacks of lazy booking. That's what it smacks of, lazy booking. So we then get Jeff Hardy versus Andretti Cien Almas. And for all of you people who wrote me and said, oh, Marcus, big deal. He taps out to the champion AJ Styles, and right away you're saying they're going to treat him like a jabron. Yeah, we happen to know that Vince McMahon thinks very highly of Almas, and he's ready to get a really big push. After all, they let him beat Rusev, didn't they? And he's going to get his big moment. Yeah, he's getting a big moment, all right. His big moment is, if I fight anybody who's been in the business more than 4 years, I lose. Almas is irrelevant. They've ruined Almas, and he's one of the best wrestlers they got there, and he's ruined. Dropping matches to Jeff Hardy, because, of course, Jeff Hardy's your future. He's your future. 20 years from now, maybe Jeff Hardy will be the champion, right? God have mercy on us. Why does Jeff Hardy have to be in the Survivor Series? Why is Randy Orton not in the Survivor Series? And if you say, well, no one in their right mind would pick him because he's not a team player. Okay, well, what about Rusev? Nope, got to be Jeff Hardy. So he's got to beat somebody good. Hey, Almas, you're doing the job again tonight. Wow. I warned you, though, didn't I? See, the difference is this. If you're already an established star, you're right. It doesn't hurt to tap out to AJ Styles. Daniel Bryan was not hurt by tapping out to AJ Styles. Samoa Joe was not hurt by tapping out to AJ Styles. Because they're established. But when you got a guy just in entering the SmackDown ranks, he's got to rise high for a while for fans to take him seriously as a major player. And if he loses a lot, then they don't consider him a major player. And if he taps out right away, they certainly don't consider him a major player. So if the WWE was really high on Almas, I knew they'd never let him tap out. He'd have passed out. Oh, Almas didn't really submit. He's a tough son of a bitch, but he did pass out, and the referee had to call for the bell. But then they would have built him back up and said, well, he ain't losing again. Two or three feuds in a row, he's winning. And I thought that's what they were doing with Rusev, but then, no. Now he's losing to everybody. Rey Mysterio, Jeff Hardy. And, okay, there's no shame in losing to them, but what I'm saying is it makes it obvious that he's not going to be a major player. Because major players who just come up do not drop this amount of matches. If you're going to be a major player when they call you up, look at Kevin Owens. They call Kevin Owens up. He beats John Cena's first night. And Kevin Owens didn't lose a match until he lost to John Cena in a rematch. Didn't lose a match for a while. He's built. He was built up. Not Almas. Almas drops to Jeff Hardy, of all people, and you can effectively say Almas is a mid-carder at best now, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about Jeff Hardy and Almas, I would like to see that feud, but it's not going to be a great one.
That's over. He lost clean, Mike. He didn't, he didn't lose by weird circumstances. You know, he just... That's it. Twist of fate. Goodbye.
You're right. And look, the last, not this match, but the last couple of matches, he even lost without his business manager. You know.
Yep, because she was concussed.
Yeah, she was concussed, but they made a thing saying she's doing business. But again, generally speaking, if you have a manager, you generally, and he or she is at the ring to make the manager look good and to make you look good. You don't lose when the manager's out there with you, and that's what they've done with it. So it just doesn't hurt him; it hurts her.
Of course, look, the Almas thing is over, and I warned everybody. You don't think the world of a guy and then have him drop a couple of matches and say, oh, don't worry, you're in for a big push. A big push for what? Did they do that with, The Undertaker when he came in? Did they say, well, you're dropping a couple of matches right away, submitting? No. They do that to, who'd they do that to? Did they do that to anybody that was hugely big? No. So what makes you think they're going to do it now? I hate when people say, oh, well, I know he dropped four matches in a row, but they got big plans for him. Yeah, too late. We then get one of the saddest things I've ever seen. We get the women's division out there, and Becky Lynch gets to come out and decide who is going to replace her. Now, I want to say this. Becky Lynch is cranking on all cylinders. And as much as this setback could hurt her, it also has, in a sense, cemented her as being the top person in the women's division. And she has only added to that by some of her comebacks. When Ronda Rousey said, this is exactly what happens when you get punched in the face for real, Becky Lynch responded by saying, well, I got up from that punch in the face for real and beat your ass and half of the other women in that division's ass. And if I recall, when you got punched in the face, you ran and hid under the blankets for a year. That's a pretty good comeback. And she called Nia Jax a bitch and said, I haven't forgotten about you. So Becky's cranking on all cylinders. But Becky was given a tough task here because Becky Lynch was told, you have to go out and hand this to Charlotte Flair. And willingly do it. And obviously, at this point, the WWE said, we give up. No mas. We can't make Becky Lynch a heel. Good job, Road Dogg. Remember when we told you, no, your story sucks? It's not just the way we're interpreting it. It's because you didn't write it right. Well, they agree with us now. You didn't write it right. Becky was always the good guy in this story, and you screwed it up. And now the WWE says, what do we do? Because a heel Becky Lynch would have said, I'm going to give it to Lana. Because nobody's going to beat Ronda Rousey until I do. That's what a heel does. I'm going to give this to the only girl who doesn't really want it. You know, you could have had Lana coming out being like, not me. You know, I don't want to do it. And Becky Lynch would have been the one saying, oh, yeah, you're the one. That would have been a heel move. But they've given up on the heel thing because, of course, Becky Lynch isn't a heel. She was never written to be a heel. The fans won't respond to her as a heel, despite what the Road Dogg thinks is their mistake and his genius. It's actually reverse. So she has to go out and literally hand this to the girl who she says is her mortal enemy. And she doesn't preface it by saying, first off, no one here can beat Ronda Rousey except me. That's number one. So now it just comes down to who I want to see get their ass beat. And Charlotte, I want to see you get your ass beat. You think you're so good. You think you're the queen of everything. Go get your ass beat. And then when you do come back with your arm broke, I'll go show you how it's really done. See, that's what a heel would have done. But no, they've given up that experiment, and Becky Lynch has to come out and still maintain her toughness and still maintain her edge while she's handing it to Charlotte and giving her a hug. That's very hard. That's a very hard 180 you're asking her to do. And she did it as well as she could. But at the end of the day, it seemed weird. It seemed really weird. And if you were going to do that, at least Charlotte Flair should have made some kind of impassioned speech. And then Becky should have just said, fine, it's you, and just walked away. Don't give the hug. Don't give the whole thing. It's too much. It's too much too soon. What I would have loved to have seen was for Becky Lynch to say, hey, Charlotte, you think you can do it, don't you? And I know you cannot. After all, you want Becky at WrestleMania to fight Ronda Rousey, right? So how about if you say, look, Charlotte, you got a big ego. You think you can take Ronda Rousey, don't you? And I know you can. But you've always been that way. You're Charlotte Flair. You're the queen. So go ahead, Charlotte. Prove me wrong. Go ahead out there and see what happens to you. And when you come back with your arm broke, I'll be laughing. And then I'll go show you how it's done. But what could have happened, of course, is that Charlotte could have got jumped by those other horsewomen and sent back injured. And Becky could have said, I feel guilty as hell because I almost wished this on her. And now it happened. And I don't feel so good about it. And Edge was right. Myself. I'm looking in the mirror now and I don't like myself. But I'm going to like myself a whole lot better when Charlotte and myself and the two other horsewomen go kick their asses. And that's exactly what we're going to do. That works. And then you've got the horsewomen against the horsewomen and you've got an angle. Because now you've got Becky Lynch remorseful about what she wished upon her friend, saying, we're coming there to kick their asses. Charlotte saying, as soon as I recover from this, oh boy, am I coming to kick some ass. And then you, of course, have the two best friends, Bailey and Sasha, involved. And I'm, look, that's looking good. And they're going to get to this four horsewoman versus four horsewoman this way anyway. That's why they had Becky Lynch embrace Charlotte Flair. But I would have rather not seen her embrace her now. I would have rather have seen her taunt her and say, go, because I know you can't beat Ronda. And then when she comes back jumped and hurt, is that going to make Ronda a bad guy? Yeah, it is. So what? You've got the top good guy face in the women's division, and her name is Becky Lynch. Who cares? Who cares? You run with Becky. Getting the gang together. And you have something. So, Mike, that seemed a little weird to me that they rushed it.
Yeah, it seemed a little rushed to me, but remember, the original plan was for it to be Charlotte and what's her name and Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania.
Yep.
But when Becky Lynch got red stinking hot, and look, all she has to do is stick her face out from behind that curtain, out from behind the Titantron, and there's going to be an eruption. That's all Becky Lynch has to do.
That's what I'm saying, Mike. Wouldn't it have been better if Becky Lynch kind of taunted Charlotte Flair and said, I'm going to give it to you because I know you're going to get your ass kicked and I'm going to enjoy watching every minute of you getting your ass kicked by Ronda Rousey. And then when that happened and she realizes the severity of what happened, her friendship overrides her bitterness and she says, I wish that upon my best friend. I can't believe I did that. And then you have that remorse of, well, listen, things have changed now and we're going to get together and we're kicking their ass. That would have been a whole lot better angle than just embracing her now and saying all is forgiven.
Well, I mean, I look at it as she kind of did that in terms of, well, go do it like I do it, you know, like I do it. In other words, go use my move and do it, when she knows full good and well that Charlotte's not going to do it that way. Charlotte's going to use the figure eight, you know?
Yeah, but she embraced her and said, go do it. You know, she embraced her as if saying, I want you to win, not thrust her finger in her chest and said, go ahead, go get your ass kicked. I'll be sitting back watching. I would have rather had that Becky Lynch, because then we have a reason she turned back. Right now, we don't know what the reason is. I got punched by Nia Jax, so now Charlotte's my best friend again. That's not a good reason. If she told Charlotte, go ahead, you think you're such a great wrestler, go ahead. Go get your ass kicked by Ronda Rousey. I'm going to sit in the front row and laugh about it, watching you tap out, because that's what's going to happen. And then it looked like Charlotte Flair was going to win, and the other horsewomen jumped in and beat her down. If Becky Lynch had then tried to run in to make the save and got, you know, the numbers game caught up on her, and all of a sudden here comes Bailey and Sasha, and you got a, you know, the horsewomen and the horsewomen in the ring at Survivor Series going at it, you have a moment, Mike.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there, and that's the thing. Now, in a roundabout way, they're probably going to get there. But again, and like you said before, you know, you still have the chance of this getting it right at some point. But again, and then having Ronda Rousey as a kind of a full fledged heel would make sense, because the other three of her running mates are heels.
Mike, this does, here's why this doesn't make sense. This would be the exact same thing as if Dean Ambrose was given a big match, accidentally got hurt, got concussed, had to pick his replacement, and embraced Seth Rollins and said, "You're still my brother. Go, I want you to do the best you can. Go do it. Go do it for me." You'd say, "Well, wait a minute. I thought you were dead set against him. I thought you were enemies." You got to give the fans a reason why Becky Lynch is no longer feeling that Charlotte Flair is her enemy. And just because she got concussed by Nia Jax isn't a good reason. What is a good reason is for Becky Lynch to think it would be funny to watch her tap out to Ronda Rousey and kind of wish bad things on Charlotte Flair, and then something worse than bad happens. And then she says, I feel responsible. It's the equivalent of saying, "Oh, I never want to see this person again," and then you find out they're in a horrible car accident, and you're like, "Oh, shit. You know, I didn't really mean that. You know, a lot of the things I said I didn't mean," and oh boy. That works, and fans say, "Well, now I understand how she feels. She's the one who wished this upon her, and now she feels guilty." So now she is going to be, you know, now we're going to see a different side of Becky Lynch. We're going to see still that side, but we're going to see a side of her that says, "Maybe I did go a little far with Charlotte. And, you know, I feel terrible, but we can team up and take care of this." Then you have something good, because you can't get Ronda in there as a face anyway. Every single other one of the MMA horsewomen are heels. Every one of them. So Ronda's going to have to be two. And Ronda's doing her job to get there. So this is what I feel they're going to do. I think you're right, Mike. I think they're going to take our advice and get there. But I just think they rushed the story, and they didn't give us a really good motivation for why Becky Lynch had her come to Jesus moment where she says, "Maybe Charlotte isn't so bad after all." This had nothing to do with Charlotte. This had everything to do with Nia Jax. So, in my opinion, Becky should have picked Charlotte out of spite, thinking there's no way Charlotte's going to beat her. I'll get a kick out of watching Ronda Rousey tap her out, and then I can talk about Charlotte for the next however many, you know, years, saying, "You tapped out. I'll show you how it's done." And then when something bad happens to Charlotte, Becky Lynch realizes, I'm an idiot. I wish this on her. I didn't mean it. That works, because then we as fans say, "Yep, I've done that. I've been there. I've said things I didn't mean." So now I get how Becky feels. Now when she embraces Charlotte, we get it. Right now I don't get it. Last week she hated Charlotte. This week it's, "Oh, please, go defend my honor." Well, what? And then Charlotte says exactly that. Charlotte backstage says, "Well, I fought half my life. I've fought Becky Lynch, and now I'm going to fight for her." You're fighting for her? Okay. Well, listen, they always rush the story, and they rush the story again, Todd. I just think it would have been a better story if they played it out longer.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, they do rush things anymore of storylines. "Oh, we're going to do this and get it over with like in a week or so." That's not how you do a storyline.
Look no further than Daniel Bryan turning heel. Because God almighty, could you do it any quicker? He's a champion, he's a heel, all in one night. Just get it done. No motivation. Why? Why did he turn heel? Oh, we don't care. We don't care. But what that does make me think is this. SmackDown doesn't need two heels, and I think you're going to see The Miz turn face. He does pick Jeff Hardy after. I don't know what Rusev has done. Apparently, Rusev shit in somebody's cornflakes, because Rusev couldn't. The next guy would be Ty Dillinger, and then somebody, you know what I mean? They're not even considering Rusev for the Survivor Series. It's not like, "Well, Rusev's in." No, the hell with Rusev. I don't get that. I don't get that at all. When Jeff Hardy has more pull than Rusev, wow. Plus, it was an absolutely moronic thing to do for Shane McMahon to say Daniel Bryan is now off the team as team captain before you even knew the result of the match. Because if Daniel Bryan lost, there'd be nothing to stop him from still being that in that Survivor Series match. Nothing. So when I heard Daniel Bryan is off, I said, Daniel Bryan's winning. There's no question about it. Why would they throw him off the team? Then he would have nothing to do in the Survivor Series. Of course he's going to win. So that was anticlimactic and did not make any sense. Now, the best moment in SmackDown is when The Miz says, all right, Jeff Hardy is on the team. Based on what I just saw with Almas, Jeff Hardy's on the team. Ray, you're out. That was funny because it was so spontaneous. It came out of nowhere. What did Ray do? Ray's just standing there and suddenly cut out, you're through. Very funny moment. Very funny. And then Paige has to intervene and say, wait. He's not out. I'm still the general manager of the show. And they put him up against the match. The Miz is just gold. I'm sorry, but if you don't like The Miz, I don't know if you like pro wrestling, because everything that pro wrestling should be, The Miz is, really is. He's highly entertaining. He gets good enough in the ring. He's cranking on all cylinders with the mic backstage and in the ring. He sells his fights perfectly. Had a decent match against Ray. Lost, so Ray's still on the team. And that was one thing in SmackDown that actually made me laugh, Mike. I had no idea he was just going to dismiss Rey Mysterio for no reason at all.
Well, I mean, like you said, it fit. Now, it doesn't fit with the potential face character, but it fits with the old Miz heel character. Oh, you know, I'm the best, and you don't deserve to be on this team, so I'm just, for no reason at all, I'm going to just dismiss you. That fits with the old heel character. Now, it was hilarious, but again, if they're going to change him, if they're going to make him a face, if they're going to flip him, he can't be doing those type of things.
I think they're going to maybe do a Survivor Series. I think they're going to do a thing by which he's going to last longer than you think, or he's going to put on that brave fight or whatever. But this may be one of the last things he does. Or they're going to make him one of those heels you root for anyway, where you say, he's not really a face, but he's very rootable and we still root for him, a la Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn type thing. They might do that with him. But that was the funniest part of SmackDown. And I got to tell you, all four people who participated in that handled it so well. The Miz, who doesn't even think about it. He just says, fine, Jeff Hardy is on the team. Ray, you're out. Ray Mysterio's reaction is just like, what did I do? Samoa Joe starts laughing at Ray Mysterio, and Paige is just in shock. Like, what just happened? It was very funny. That was a very funny moment. Very well done. So that's a good part of SmackDown. The match itself was good. It's fine. Typical Rey Mysterio match. His matches don't change much. His WWE matches. You know, if you see Rey on the indies, you really see Rey. You see Rey in the WWE, you see sort of a watered down, cut to the top three moves type Rey. And it's almost a pattern. It's all almost like playing Pac-Man. Once you see the pattern, you know where everything's going. So, aside from that, we had The Bar, the big show against the New Day. And obviously, New Day lose. And then we had a weird thing. The Usos are backstage deciding who's going to be their teammates. As if they have a choice. They pick every single team that's on the roster. There was nobody else to pick. My God, they've even picked the Colognes. I saw the Colognes. I'm like, oh, my God, the Colognes are still around. Kind of weird, like, we're trying to make a decision. You got no choice. These are your teams. So that was weird. I don't get that. I don't know why they would book a skit that makes the Usos look that stupid. Instead of just saying, this is who we have to go to war with. And giving them a pep talk. I know some of you guys haven't had the spotlight very much. Well, this is your spotlight. This is your chance to show the world what you can do. Cologne, you know, look at your name in this wrestling business. You've got a chance to show the world why the Colognes are this, you know, big name in the wrestling business. Gallows and Anderson, you guys haven't been around much lately. You got a chance now. You got a chance to show the fans what you can do and why you were the top team in Japan. Sanity, you got to, you know, up your game and show us what you did in NXT when you dominated in NXT. You know, pep talk them. Then we'd say, yeah, that was good. The Usos gave everybody a pep talk, and they're right. They're speaking for the fans when they say, hey, Gallows and Anderson, you're one of the most talented tag teams in the world, and you're not getting a fair shake. Hey, Colognes, we know you're world famous. You're not getting a fair shake. Hey, Sanity, you came up here and, you know, got nothing. Now let's see what you can do. They'd be speaking for the fans, and that would work very well. Instead, they opted for, who do we choose when there's nobody to choose? You have to choose them all. That was a very weird segment, Mike.
It really was, but I sort of enjoyed it. The only thing that was missing from that segment, we did get, you know, Eric Young saying, like, we're going to purge him and stuff like that. We did get that. That was pretty cool. And, you know, the only thing missing from the Good Brothers was them calling the Raw people nerds, that type of thing. But with Sanity, what you should be seeing with Sanity is you should be seeing all four of them. Even though it's a men's match, you ought to be seeing all four of them together, and that includes Nikki Cross. You know, that's what you should be seeing with Sanity. And I do like the fact that they're actually finding, even though his career is winding down, they're actually finding something to do with the Big Show.
No, I agree with that. I'm glad the Big Show's around and doing things. But Todd, I would have much rather had that segment be, you're the guys we have to go to war with. You're the remainder of the SmackDown tag team division. And there's going to be a lot of people watching this show who think we don't stand a chance because they're going to say, who are the Colognes? We haven't seen them in a long time. Anderson and Gallows, they haven't lived up to their potential. Sanity, they've been a bum since they got here. But we know you guys, what you guys can really do. And now's the chance for you guys to show it. So are you going to get out there and are you going to fight for SmackDown? Or are you going to get out there and prove that you belong backstage? You belong not being in the spotlight. You know, it would have been better if he gave him that pep talk than act like they were choosing him when there was nobody else to choose.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I would have done the same thing, give him that little pep talk and tell him, do what you put on, do as best as possible and see what you're really made of in front of the fans, too.
Mike, if they really wanted to sell this, don't you agree that if the Usos were given the opportunity to go to the Colognes and say, you know, you came here with a historic wrestling legacy behind you, and they had you selling beachfront property in Puerto Rico. That's what they thought of you. Well, you got a chance. You got a chance to show them what you can really do. Anderson and Gallows, you went from the most fearsome tag team in New Japan to being, testicle doctors. And they could have looked disgusted. And is that what you want your career to be remembered as? You want your career to be remembered as you tore the heads off Raw talent at Survivor Series? Insanity, we know what you've done in NXT. You tore that place apart. Since you got here, you've been a joke. And I know you're not a joke. So are you going to tear the ring apart on Sunday, or are you going to sit back here and be a joke? If they had have addressed each one of those issues that fans really don't like about how they treated these tag teams, that would have got over big, in my opinion.
Oh, sure. And I mean, they could even have reached back and with Gallows and said, "You were once in a comedy tag team, and you went away and became bigger than that original tag team, you know, and now look at you. Now it's time for you to go in there and show what you really can do." I mean, that's something that should have been said. And I'm referring to like Jesse and Festus, but
yep.
that type of thing.
There's no question it would have been better than acting like you're selecting guys when you had no choice. Now, obviously, the Survivor Series has changed tremendously because now we have Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar. We have Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey, and that was supposed to be a WrestleMania match. Charlotte Flair has unfortunately ran into the Becky Lynch machine, and that is that everything that they wanted Charlotte Flair to be, Becky Lynch has become. And it's very bizarre how it happened, because it happened very organically. The fans just started to realize, wait a minute, Becky Lynch is really being underutilized. And they started really cheering for her to try to get, I guess, the powers that be to see that that's what they wanted. And the powers that be teased, that's what we're going to do. We're going to use her. And then they had Charlotte win, and that set the whole freaking thing off. And then this, Jesse James Armstrong's going to take full credit for saying, regardless of whether you like my story or not, it's responsible for how big Becky Lynch is. Well, no, the fans are responsible for how big Becky Lynch is. You told a half-assed story, the fans rejected it and decided the worse you treat her, the louder we're going to cheer until we start seeing the Becky Lynch we want to see. And guess what? They're now seeing it. And you know what's funny? Mike, we were on this show 3 or 4 months ago, saying when Becky Lynch started that harder edge thing, she could be like a Stone Cold Steve Austin type deal. And a lot of people said, she's never going to have that. That's not Becky Lynch's thing. Becky Lynch is not going to be able to tough guy it out and be like that. And then we see her in the ring covered in blood, tweeting out, "This is Irish war paint." And all of a sudden, everybody's like, "Oh, she's like Stone Cold Steve Austin." Well, we said that first.
Yeah. I mean, remember, what was her, when she first shows up, what was her nickname? What is her nickname?
Yeah, Last Kicker.
You know, the Last Kicker. And basically, what did we say about Stone Cold Steve Austin? He'll stump a mud holding and walk it dry. I mean, they could have gotten to this much faster if they would have just done something with her other than what they did for the longest time, having her lose, become irrelevant, and then all of a sudden she catches on, and we know the whole story. I mean, they started making her win, and then they tried to turn her heel, and it didn't work because she was winning. You know,
well, Mike, the thing is, we had said a while back, all these girls in the division are kind of cookie cutter of each other. You got all the athletes like Charlotte Flair and Naomi and Asuka and Becky Lynch. And those are like the and maybe Sasha and Bayley. And they're all like athletic and doing the best they can and just trying to promote women's athletics. And then you had one or two like Carmella and Lana who are more like the diva types and things, but you didn't have somebody who's just, "I'm going in there and kick your ass." And we had said, you know, maybe Sarah Logan at one point could have been that, but I mean, Becky Lynch is doing it far better than probably Sarah Logan ever could. And this is what the fans wanted. They wanted to embrace women's wrestling, but they want difference in character. And Becky Lynch is different than anyone on this roster.
Yes, and think about this, though, with Sarah Logan. There's a reason, why they changed her gimmick from, now, it's kind of not catching on, this whole Viking thing that she's trying to get across, but there's a reason why they changed her gimmick, because like you just said, her original gimmick was that badass country girl. I don't give a damn. I'll beat your ass and you know, stomp a mud hole in you. That was her gimmick.
Right.
And now that Sarah Logan's doing it better than that, they had to find something else. Now, will they're trying to do with her right now catch on? I don't know. But that's another argument for later on. Like I said, Becky Lynch is doing it better, and we said this. You've said this already, that she is the women's division, and she is the women's division on both in the whole company. You know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And again, she can do no wrong. Even when she's injured, the injury is actually helped her mystique. I mean, like I said, the internet was filled with pictures of Becky Lynch, blood all over her face. When's the last time you saw a woman with blood all over her face and a big smile still saying, I don't care, you know, this is just war paint. She's actually striking a better blow for women's wrestling than these types that are in here saying, well, I'm athletically gifted, I'm very sound in my craft. But this is pro wrestling, and sometimes you just want to see an ass kicker. And Becky Lynch has become that ass kicker. She's become that girl that if I come out here, I'm going to kick your ass. Now, you got to think about this logically. 5 months ago, if you said Becky Lynch is going to take on Ronda Rousey, you'd have said, well, this is going to be a warm-up for Ronda to get to somebody else. Becky Lynch can't even beat Carmella. So this is just going to be a short warm-up match for Ronda Rousey. Now, the WWE is going to take this all the way to WrestleMania, and I'm not so sure that if Becky is still on fire like she is, you may see Ronda Rousey take her first loss. Because the WWE realizes one thing. It's not like the men's division, where they have 50 choose from that they can make big if they want to by simply pushing them. I think they realize we've caught something in Becky that no other girl's been able to capture here so far. And God bless them. Many of them are very, very talented, but they haven't been able to catch on with the fans like this. There hasn't really been one person. Asuka did it in NXT. Asuka might have put some asses in the seats in NXT. And maybe down in North Carolina, Charlotte Flair put some asses in seats. But Becky Lynch now is putting asses in seats. All over the world, she's putting asses in seats. And she's probably one of the first women that you could put on the top of a bill, other than Ronda Rousey, who her name recognition is doing it, that will put asses in seats. And that's a big deal. That's a very big deal for them, because then this really is legit equal to the men's division. When you start putting asses in seats and you start being a boon to the company, and you're making them money in an equal scale as the men with your merchandising, with the, how much ticket sales you have, with the public appearances that people want and the publicity you're getting out of that name, then you really are equal to the men's division. And right now, Becky Lynch has done more to make the women's division equal to the men's division than any of the wrestlers who've come before her, Mike.
She really has, and frankly, if there was an actual women's show, you know, that it was just the women, she'd be to that show what Enzo and Neville were to 205, you know. Those two guys, for a long period of time, drove one for one right after the other, but drove that show. They drove it. And she was probably.
Now what they got to do is they got to put Becky Lynch. You see, here's the problem. They got to start developing some girls who are going to learn from this Becky Lynch thing and say, look, I need to develop my character more too. I need to get my character out there and really flesh this out so we can have some really good fights. Because there was no Stone Cold Steve Austin without Vince McMahon or The Rock or, you know, The Undertaker or whoever he was fighting. You had to have those people. When you have your main guy, you also have to have the antagonist. You have the protagonist, you have to have the antagonist. You have to have one or two people that you say, this person's going to really give her a challenge. Now, Ronda Rousey's good. Shayna Baszler would be my next choice. Because I think the dynamic between how Shayna Baszler cuts her promos and how Becky Lynch cuts her promos would really get the fans excited about a Shayna Baszler-Becky Lynch match. Todd, that's what I could see hopefully coming maybe down the road soon.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, with the Shayna Baszler and the Becky Lynch feud coming sometime down the road in the near future. Hopefully, probably in the next couple of months, I'd like to see that.
You know, once the horsewomen thing get done, maybe you could start something with that. Bring her up to the main roster, and then maybe you could get a good program out of that, Mike, because those two would be gold together, I think.
Well, the thing is one, depending on where they put her, I mean, if they're going to do the full horsewomen thing, then Baszler is going to be put on Raw for the time being. Now, that doesn't preclude her from either one of them being switched, but I'm not sure that they're going to want to switch Becky Lynch. If she's going good and she's helping basically her and people like Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles and people like that are helping to carry SmackDown, are they going to really want to, are they really going to want to switch one of them?
I don't think they'll switch Becky Lynch. I just don't think they care about the Four Horsewomen much past what would probably be a WrestleMania match. If they do the Four Horsewomen thing, it'll probably be just before WrestleMania, maybe the pay-per-view before WrestleMania. And to be honest with you, I don't see Ronda Rousey sticking around much past WrestleMania. So I think it's going to be a faction that could go anywhere. So Shayna Baszler could absolutely show up with her entourage on SmackDown, or they could split them up and a couple of them could go to Raw. I don't know. I don't think they'll move Becky. I just don't think they're counting on Ronda long term. You know, from what I've heard and what Ric Flair said, Ronda Rousey's expressed an interest in starting a family and doing some motion pictures, and I don't think she signed a whole lot past WrestleMania. Now, maybe that changed and I don't know about it. But if that's the case, it's not going to matter much anywhere where they go, Mike.
Yeah, you're right. And the thing is you look at Shayna Baszler, she's already she's in her late 30s. And you look at the other two girls, I'm not sure what their feelings are. And the thing is you know, people like Charlotte Flair, who's been married, but who doesn't look like she's going to get married anytime soon. We want people that are going to be around, and the rest of the Four Horsewomen, and of course Sasha and Bailey and Charlotte and Becky and the rest of these girls, they're going to be around. You know they're going to be around.
Yeah,
so to help
use them,
yeah, you got to use them, and that's the thing. And look, you can still have Becky, Sasha, and Bailey versus those other three at some point as well, because we know they're gonna put those other three together, and Sasha and Bailey are already there on Raw, or you could switch them to SmackDown or whatever.
Not only that, but they have plenty of pay-per-views where they fight each other. They always say this is the one time a year when they fight each other. That's not true. They fight each other all the time. So they could still do that. So let's rate this SmackDown. This was a very weird SmackDown. From the opening, where Paul Heyman has no real reason to bring up Daniel Bryan's name, to Daniel Bryan having no real reason to be mad at AJ and saying, don't speak my name. All he said was, he was answering Paul's question and said, I've beaten the best, including Daniel Bryan, which he did. To the bizarre taking him off the Survivor Series team before you even knew whether he was won. To Becky Lynch suddenly embracing Charlotte Flair and all is forgiven. To Daniel Bryan flipping heel. To the Usos selecting tag teams when there was no selection. They had to choose every one of them in order to form a team. This was a very bizarre SmackDown. Another no Rusev for how many weeks? I haven't seen Rusev since Saudi Arabia. Derek's saying the show is an F. I can't give it an F, and I'll tell you why I cannot give it an F. I cannot give it an F because that thing with The Miz telling Rey Mysterio, cut out your through, it's going to go down as one of my top five or six things I've seen on SmackDown in a long time. I laughed for 5 minutes because I didn't expect it. I mean, it's so ridiculous that you take a legend and kick him off your team for no other reason than I guess you're mad at him. Okay, Jeff Hardy is in. Ray, you're out. Just great. That was great. That's a great moment. But yeah, I mean, the rest of these things made very little sense. A lot of this stuff made no sense. I'm going to give it, I think I would give it a C if it wasn't a go home show, but for a go home show, all it did was shock you and say, wait a minute, we got a different match now. Oh, wait a minute. We got another different match now. So the shock value didn't, I'd rather seen Becky Lynch versus, Ronda Rousey. And honestly, I'd have rather seen AJ Styles versus, Brock Lesnar under these circumstances, because Bryan is a heel. So if Bryan's a heel and Lesnar's a heel, that's just weird. And Bryan's going to get cheered, so it's pointless to make him a heel, and then everyone cheers him. So that's very bizarre. So I'm going to give it a C- because I honestly think that there were too many things that don't make sense, Mike.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you there. But what's going to happen with a C-, and what the hell... What helps me was not just the Miz's, you know, the Miz's, what the Miz did, but it was the reaction of everybody else in the ring.
Yes.
You know, and also, like I said before, all Becky Lynch has to do is show her face, and she's going to get a cheer. I mean, let alone looking at that mouse under her eye that where she got hit. I mean... That just it's not just the fact that she bled, but the fact that she still has.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, Mike. I got to get to Todd with his rating because we're running out of time. Todd, what's your rating?
I got to go with you. I got to go with a C.
Look, the bottom line is this. It was too much weird stuff going on. I hope they didn't hurt Becky Lynch's character. I hope they don't make her some kind of a, you know, Miss Nice Girl all of a sudden, because the fans don't want that. The fans want this. They want this edgy Becky Lynch. We will be back here on Sunday. I know that Derek in the chat room is saying F, and he's saying, you know, you take one of your top attractions off the card last minute for what purpose? Yeah, you're right. There is no purpose. The purpose was to turn Daniel Bryan heel because that's what he wanted. It doesn't make any sense at this point. We'll be back on Sunday with your Survivor Series report.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.